Hey everybody, this is Matt Powell and the team here at Dinosaur Adventureland. I'm coming to you today with the fundamentals of the creation versus evolution debate. There's so many people out there today that think that the evolutionists really have the creationists beat, and they think that they've defeated us on all fronts. But I'm here to tell you, anybody that believes in evolution is believing in things that are so superstitious that it is mind-blowing that anybody could possibly believe in it. So we'll go ahead and get started here. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And so we should always hold fast to the things that are true and right. This is my family. We are from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And before I get started, these are some great resources. If you're not sure what you believe on creation or evolution or Bible and science, I would recommend Matt Powell Official, obviously, which is my channel, but then also Standing for Truth. Standing for Truth is a team of young earth creation science guys. One of them is an actual PhD, and they're amazing, and I recommend their content. They're the people that I study under a lot of times. So I'm going to launch right into this. We're going to go for the jugular. How many in here have ever heard of carbon dating? Everybody's heard of carbon dating. If you've been around the creation versus evolution topic or anybody that discusses it, you'll know about carbon dating. And evolutionists say that carbon dating proves that the Earth is more than 50,000 years old, because carbon dating obviously goes out to about 50,000 years in the past. It says here, it says, carbon-14 dating is a way of determining the age of certain archaeological artifacts of a biological origin up to about 50,000 years old. So I'm just going to go ahead and ask the question, why is it then that we find carbon-14 inside of dinosaur bones that are supposedly 65 million years old? I would like an answer to that. People say dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. Really? There's C14 inside the bones. According to this article, which is a scientific paper, peer-reviewed, it says that carbon-14 only lasts 50,000 years in any organism that it dies in. Yes?
And soft tissue.
We find soft tissue in all of these dinosaur bones, blood cells with hemoglobin in the blood. But oh, it lasted millions of years. Anybody that believes that is gullible. You're a gullible person if you believe that. People say, oh, you're so gullible if you're a Christian. No, atheists are gullible, and it's proven, because they believe that out of nothing, the universe could be created by nothing. That takes gullibility. That takes stupidity. That takes complete and utter nonsense, nonsensical thought. Don't tell me that you, if you're an atheist, that's fine. But don't tell me you believe in science. If you're an atheist, it's okay to be an atheist, but not believe in science. Atheists do not believe in science, period. If you think that magic is what created the universe by no uncaused cause, or just no cause whatsoever, that's magic. That's who we're dealing with. We are literally dealing with people that believe in full-out magic. I've always said, what if a giant boulder popped into this room? What if I said that? People would laugh me right out of here. Yet people believe that the entire universe popped into existence uncaused with no God? Folks, check yourself. And we keep bringing up the same points to them, and they can't answer them. They say, why are you bringing up the same tired old arguments that creationists always have used since the 1980s? Well, because they're right. The truth stays the truth. They say, well, what if you're wrong? I know I'm not wrong, because 2 + 2 = 4. It will always be 4. The facts will always be the facts. You can try and argue against the facts, but the facts will always be the facts at the end of the day. So stop trying to argue with that which we've demonstrated to be fact. And dinosaur bones contain C14. That means that they died within the past 50,000 years. Now, here's how the evolutionists will try to counter this, because they have their little counter arguments. They say, well, you see, Matt, the dinosaur bones were contaminated with C14 at some point in the past 50,000 years. That's a lame excuse, but sure. Okay, we'll go there. Why is it then that we find C14 inside of diamonds? Diamonds cannot be contaminated. They're the most compact subatomic particles that exist. We cannot break through diamonds, even with our most powerful technology. And you want to tell me that C14 somehow contaminated diamonds? Something that cannot be contaminated otherwise? These diamonds should not have any C14 inside of them if they are 3.5 or 1 to 3.5 billion years old, as Google will tell you. Just Google it. They'll say, oh, it's billions of years old. Why is there C14 in it if C14 only lasts 50,000 years? Again, these are the fundamentals of young earth creationism. When I was in college, I played college basketball. And my coach always told me that if you master the fundamentals, you'll be a great player. And if you are a creationist and you want to get in the middle of this fight, just master the fundamentals and you will win every time. Every single time. They say, well, the layers are different ages. So you got Paleozoic, Mesozoic, Archaeozoic, Cenozoic layers, and they come up with all these fancy names. Well, why is it that we find identical amounts? Let's just go based on carbon-14 now. So this is carbon-14 basic lesson, right? Why is it that we find identical amounts of C14 in all of the coal seams worldwide? Because all those coal seams are the same vegetation being smashed together in one event. It's identical amounts. If evolution were true, there should be no carbon-14 on those bottom layers, and then less and less and less as you move up. But they're identical amounts. That means that that's all the same vegetation being smashed together in one event. That's Noah's flood on display. That's why mountains even exist, is because of the flood. People that try and explain mountains through slow and gradual plate tectonics, what a joke. No, it was quick plate tectonics. It was rapid plate tectonics. That's why everything was bent, all the bent rock layers that you see. Soft tissue found inside of T-Rex bones, just as Brother William pointed out earlier. We constantly are finding these things. And it's the rule, not the exception. People make it out like, it's just so rare that we find this. Now, you could actually go to scientists and museums, and you could break open soft tissue and find soft tissue inside of dinosaur bones. It's very common. Okay, does anybody in here remotely think that that's even possible for a soft tissue to last 65 million years? Scientists say, well, and here's how they answer that. Well, you see, it was contaminated. What happens if you contaminate blood? It deteriorates worse. It was contaminated. Do you know what a stupid argument that is? Oh, but it was fossil. The blood was fossilized. Wait a minute. You say a fossil takes 10,000 years to form. Is blood going to sit there in the ground for 10,000 years waiting to be fossilized? No.
But it's not fossilized. It's soft tissue.
It's soft tissue. Correct. They say, well, it's the method of the fossilization of the bone. The iron in the blood then. Okay, great. Do you see organisms getting encapsulated by iron when they die in nature? They say, well, if we put iron or blood in iron, it preserves the cells. That must have been how it lasted. This was found nowhere near iron deposits. This was not found near iron. And yes, even if you put dinosaur soft tissue in an airtight jar and then put that airtight jar in another airtight jar in another airtight jar, it's going to deteriorate. I don't care if it's airtight. It's going to deteriorate. Anybody that says that dinosaur soft tissue could last 65 million years, they are out of their mind. They are gullible people, period. And if you vouch for that, you are a gullible person. If you really believe that. And in Dinosaur Adventureland, what we try and do as a team is tell people the facts. When they come here and we give them tours, we try to tell them the facts. Not the opinions that we have. We might show them our models that we come up with. Sure, those are falsifiable. But when it comes to the facts will always be the facts. 2 + 2, like I said, will always be 4. Mark Armitage. Who knows Mark Armitage? Mark Armitage is a famous creation scientist. He was fired by his university for finding soft tissue inside of a triceratops horn. Fired by the university. They say, well, he didn't really get fired over that. That's crazy. Yeah, he took him to court and he won, I think, $500,000 and won and proved that they fired him supposedly over religious views because it violated that finding that he had, violated what they believed. So, you know, evolution is the only theory protected by law. They say, well, that's not enough evidence. I need cross-examined evidence. You mean to be able to cross-examine? What about the dinosaur tracks that are 65 million years old in the old time strata? Oh, really? Is it just a coincidence that we find man tracks with dinosaur tracks in these layers that you say are 65 million years old? I was in a debate with Dr. Kenny Rhodes from Reasons to Believe, and I brought this up to him, right? And he looked at me, he goes, well, even though it looks like a man footprint, and anatomically it may be the same, how do you know there wasn't a creature that looked just like a man? Talk about believing things without evidence. Believing, it is unbelievable what unbelievers will believe to remain unbelievers. Unbelievable. And don't get angry at me over that. Don't get angry at me for telling you the facts, for telling you the truth that you should have heard when you went to school and learned that the universe popped into existence by nothing with no God. Folks, the public school system is completely absurd what they're teaching. Monkeys surfing, dinosaurs farting to death, squids and octopi coming from outer space. Look, their rescue devices are weak, and you always need to point that out. If you're in a debate with them, point it out. It's a very weak argument. Be respectful, but just point out it's a weak argument. And in some cases, we find man footprints on top of the dinosaur footprint. I'm sorry, that means they existed at the same time. You cannot deny that. That's another cross piece of evidence there. It's cross-examined. They say, well, you know, grass didn't evolve till 55 million years ago. Dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. So dinosaurs never saw grass. So your Bible's wrong when the Bible says that the behemoth eateth grass as an ox. No, the Bible is right. And we actually examined coprolites, you know, dinosaur dung, and somehow it lasted 65 million years, guys. We found dinosaur dung. It lasted 65 million years. And guess what we found in it? Grass. The dinosaurs actually ate grass. It says, microscopic examination of the fossils, fossilized dinosaur dung from India now shows that the massive plant-eating dinosaurs munched heaping helpings of at least five different types of grass. They're concluding all this off the fossil record, right? So they're saying, well, grass didn't exist when dinosaurs existed in the fossil record. So that means that they didn't eat grass. We don't know what they ate. The Bible says they ate grass. That's enough for me. I don't even need these scientific papers. I know what the Bible says. That's good enough for me. They say it's a circular argument. I don't care what shape the argument is. The Bible has power. Never a man spake like this man. That's what they said about Jesus. There's power in the Word of God. Everything that they say is weak. Everything. So the Precambrian rock strata, right? So this is important for us to remember. If you're in a discussion with them, bring this up. This is all checkmate every time. Checkmate, checkmate, checkmate. Precambrian rock layers are supposedly the oldest layers that there are. It's where the jellyfish that we all descended from originated. The sponge, our ancestor, the great-great-great-grandfather SpongeBob. That's really what they believe. We're arguing against people that believe in literal tune network. That is your ancestor. Nickelodeon, SpongeBob. That's literally what we're arguing against. People say, how do you always win the debates? I'm arguing against people that, for lack of a better word, idiots. I don't mean to say that to be rude, but sometimes you have to argue with literal idiots. And look, I'm not trying to say that to be mean. Sometimes you got to shake the apple cart to get people to wake up in America today. Why is it that, you know, Precambrian is before dinosaurs existed? Well, we find bird tracks before dinosaurs even existed in the Precambrian rock layers. Wait a minute, didn't dinosaurs turn into birds? Why is it that there are bird tracks on the very bottom layers? Here is what they say. This is what Charles Lyell said about these bird tracks. Remember, this is millions of years before birds existed, supposedly. Charles Lyell said that these tracks were produced. They weren't real bird tracks. It's Native American Indians that got bored and decided to draw some tracks in the Precambrian rock layers. That's literally what they're saying.
Don't believe humans were around back then.
Right. Yeah. So we drew tracks of animals we'd never seen before.
But yet they're drawing them before they existed.
Yeah. Correct. They're literally saying that Native Americans drew these tracks. If you believe that, you are gullible, period. You're gullible. Stop saying Christians are gullible for believing the Bible, a book written by goat herders. What's wrong with a bunch of goat herders? Last I checked, that was actually a pretty good occupation back then, before electricity. So stop spewing your own confusion with yourself onto all of Christianity. We don't want it. It's the fallacy of false equivalence. But, you know, we constantly find, look at this. Are chickens related to the T-Rex? This is in a kid's book. Question, are chickens related to the T-Rex? Answer, yes. Science has revealed compelling evidence that the T-Rex actually evolved into a chicken. Folks, you know what we continuously find in the fossil record? Dinosaurs with birds in their stomachs. But dinosaurs, wait a minute, they didn't exist with birds. They turned into birds. No, you find dinosaurs with birds in their stomachs.
They're pregnant.
They were pregnant. They gave birth to their stomach. This is what we're up against. And you know, it's a lack of people, you bring this up to them, and they don't have a clue of what you're talking about. That's not true. There's no fossil evidence with a, and you show them the actual photo, and they don't believe it. They say, well, how can I believe in a God that I can't see? Why don't you start believing what you can see first? It's called delusional if you're not going to believe what you can see. And if you believe things without evidence, you're holding to a position that's indefensible.
They're already believing in the God they can't see.
Yeah. The God of random chance. The God of roll the dice, except there's no dice and there's nothing that produced everything. That's absolutely absurd. And of course, you know, we've debunked that many times. You know, we find a T-Rex, right, under 50 feet of sediment that had suffocated to death when it was buried. There is no other way to explain something like that other than Noah's flood. They say a local flood could have done it. No, false. It would have just ran away. A T-Rex dinosaur simply would have ran away. It had to have been globally catastrophic. That's why we find 10,000 adult mysore buried in the center of the United States that had left their young behind. Squid and octopi obviously have a very different genetic build. And so, you know, we believe that God created genetic diversity, built-in heterozygosity, if you will. Well, the evolutionists say that they can't find any links for the octopi and the squid in the fossil record. So a team of 33 scientists released this. It says, and I quote, the squid eggs hitched a ride to Earth on the back of asteroids. Here's what a team of 33 authors in a recent peer-reviewed paper, peer review, all hail, agreed to say. One plausible explanation, in our view, is that the genes are likely new extraterrestrial imports to Earth. Most plausibly, as an already coherent group of functioning genes within, say, cryptopreserve and matrix protected, fertilized octopus eggs. Folks, I just have one verse. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You would think that one of those 33 scientists would have been like, wait a second. Are you sure we're correct about Darwinian evolution? Did these really evolve from another planet and then get seeded here through panspermia? Or did God, the Lord God, create them? They say, you're not encouraging people to ask questions, Matt. That's what we do in science. Yeah, we do ask questions. We're supposed to ask the logical questions, like, how did that survive the atmosphere? It would have been boiled octopi eggs by the time it hit the atmosphere.
Frozen in space first.
Frozen in space. How did they, who laid the eggs, right? These are questions we should ask, but don't ask questions. That they get offended when you ask questions. And you know, I give them unwanted answers to their questions. They're disingenuous questions. But if they ask for a source, you know, always remember to give them a source. Whenever you're dealing with them, make sure you have scientific papers backing up what you're saying. It's just a good rule of thumb. Sure.
See, like another logical fallacy that like Stephen Hawking had that quote, because forces like gravity exist, the universe can and will create itself. But if nothing is there, where does the gravity come from?
Right, exactly. He says, because gravity exists, nothing will create everything. Well, wait a minute. Gravity is something. Right. Well, because he also said that if the expansion rate, and I quote from Stephen Hawking, he said that if the expansion rate after the Big Bang would have changed after just 1 second by one part in 100,000 million, nothing would exist. So these people are willing to bank on one out of 100,000 million chances happening by chance.
Oh, no, Their correction for that is the multiverse.
It's the multiverse. So you have enough universes, and then the odds become better.
We just happen to be the one.
It's funny because they would rather book their money on what is unlikely. They would rather put their money on what's next to impossible or impossible. Stephen Hawking also said, and I quote, that we are a mathematical impossibility. That is a miracle by definition, by the very definition. He believes in miracles. Okay, so if evolution's true, why do we find fossilized footprints of amphibians, salamanders, 15 million years before we find the salamander that made the trail? It's because when the flood was happening, they were running up through the layers trying to survive, and they were buried 15 million years later. Trilobite trails. We find trails of trilobites working their way up through the mud trying to survive, and their tracks were found millions of years before their fossil. That means they were trying to escape. That proves the flood, and that disproves the geologic column. If you want to believe in the geologic column, fine, live in a fantasy. But it's been debunked. So come up with something better. I actually want to do a video sometime on why mountains exist. People say, well, I ask people, prove evolution. Just show me some proof. Well, have you seen the Himalayas, Matt? Have you seen the Mount Everest, Matt? Have you seen all these mountains that take so long to form? False. Absolutely false. Look at these rock layers. They are bent rock. Can you bend hard rock? They say, well, it's slow and gradual uplift. That would be crumbled rock that you're looking at right there, if that was slow and gradual. You know what this means is that all of these layers were soft and moist at the time of their formation. And then, yeah, I would grant that plate tectonics actually pushed them up and they solidified in that event. And there's no breakage in between here. Look at these bent rock layers. This is why mountains even exist, is because of the flood. When you don't believe in the flood, the burden of proof is on you to explain why we have bent mountains, completely bent. Just beautiful photos here that you can see with your own eyes. Start believing what you can see before anything else.
In that photo,
yeah,
that you're showing, it shows clearly that all that rock is eroded.
It's all eroded.
It's all rounded.
Yeah, it's all rounded. Great point. Rounded rock layers. We find donut-looking rocks. Look, if this was all slow and gradual uphill change, it would be flat, right? Didn't you say in 13 million years, the entire... all the mountains would be flat.
Rate of erosion, they said rate for 2 million years.
2 million years. Yeah, just 2 million years at the current rate of erosion, everything would be flat. Yet they want me to believe that slow and gradual uphill change is what created mountains. Are you kidding me? Mountains exist because of the flood. If you don't believe in the flood, then you're left with superstition. So whenever we bring up polystrata fossils, this is an important one. This is their rescue device. This is what they'll say in response. Well, I think the tree could stand there for millions of years while the layers slowly formed around them. It wasn't catastrophic. It was just, it stood there and it, you know. Okay, well then why is it that we find polystrata fossils with the trunk at the top? Last I checked, trees don't grow upside down. That tree was yanked out by the flood, probably floated around for a while, flipped over and then sunk down in the mud, and then all of those layers solidified in the sedimentary rock. That's what we know happened. There's no doubt about that. Trees don't grow upside down.
Hey,
yes, brother.
Going back to the trilobites, I just got to thinking, they live in the ocean anyhow.
Yeah.
So they don't have to fear a flood. They only have to fear the mud being sloshed around because of the flood. So it couldn't have been anything slow.
It had to have been rapid. Right, that's a great point. They say fossilization is about time. No, false. It's about conditions. It's about what happened to that fossil that preserved it. It's not about time. That's why we find fossilized raindrops. We find fossilized ripples of water. We find fossilized teddy bears. We find fossilized sausage links, literal sausage links. Who would think a fossilized pickle? We've got one in the science center, right? Fossilized pickle. Oh, it takes 10,000 years. The pickle would have been eaten by bugs or something, would have deteriorated. Now, here's a good point that I think we should always remember to bring up is that there is no bioturbation between the layers of the Grand Canyon. If you had a layer form and then you'd have animals and vegetation growing and burrowing down in, you would expect to find that, but we don't find it. It doesn't exist. It's not there. You would expect all these creatures during those ages that existed during those ages to burrow down in those holes during those ages, right? We don't find any animal holes between the layers. There is no ecosystem there. Now, some atheist, and I'm not going to name his name, he goes, well, these layers are hard rock. Matt, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say. These layers are hard rock, so we don't expect animals to burrow through them. Is that why we find bent rock layers with dinosaur tracks that stomped through millions of years of geologic time? That means that all those layers were soft simultaneously before they solidified in a sedimentary rock. If that dinosaur track would have stepped on hard rock, it would have shattered the hard rock. These layers are hard rock, Matt. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard Matt Powell say. You know, that's the dumbest claim. That's the dumbest response that I've ever heard. And this is the evidence. Like it or lump it, this is the evidence. It would have broke its foot on the hard rock. It would have shattered the hard rock. It wouldn't have bent. It means that these layers were soft and moist and they were running from the flood. And if you look at the stride, obviously they're running from the flood. Big Bang cosmology. Let's talk about that for a minute. The Big Bang theory states that all of the matter in the entire cosmos, the entire world, was condensed down to an infinitesimal amount of space smaller than a single proton. Everything that you observe, right? And beyond the observable universe, they say. I feel like you almost lose brain cells even thinking about this stuff, but people believe this, okay? And then for no reason, it just exploded. In a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a second, it went from the size of that tiny proton to something billions of miles across. What if I said nothing caused an explosion? They think there's no God. What if I said nothing caused the greatest explosion? Nagasaki. What if I said nothing caused that? What if an explosion happened in here and I said nothing caused it? That's what they believe, is they think that there was no God. That means that nothing would have had to cause time, space, and matter to explode, and in a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a second, go from that tiny point to something billions of miles across. And again, I want to reiterate, if you believe that, you are gullible. Gullible people don't believe silly things like that. I even have an agnostic friend who has said, you know what, the Big Bang Theory sounds so stupid. He's agnostic. He said, I recently watched National Geographic. He's like, I don't even know how anybody could believe this. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth is crazy to these people. That's just insane. That's superstitious. But yet they think that the entire universe popped into existence uncaused. Granite is the only rock that we cannot create. We can actually create diamonds, but we cannot create granite. There's granite rock all over the world. So something that we can't do on purpose somehow happened by accident, folks. Something that we cannot do on purpose, a biogenesis. On purpose, we cannot create life. But yet people want me to think that it could have happened by accident. They never want to say it happened by accident. They want to say could have. They always want to make you have the burden of proof. They always want to make it, oh, I'm not making any knowledge claims. Yeah, you are. When you say that evolution is scientific, when you, oh, birds, every bird in the sky, Matt, is a dinosaur. This is what they told me last time I met with them. I met with Daniel Bennett, the vice president of American Atheists.
Bennett.
Vice president of American Atheists in Washington. I sat down at the table with him over there in a park. I was interviewing him for a film. And unfortunately, most of that footage got lost because that hard drive corrupted. Yeah, you remember that? Did you ever fix that, by the way? It was toast. Anyways, I sat down with this guy, and he goes, yeah, every bird in the sky is a dinosaur. Did you know that we find that dinosaurs actually ate birds? They didn't descend into birds, devolve into chickens. They ate them. And we have proof for that. But again, something that we can't create on purpose somehow happened by accident. Oh, well, it could have happened by accident.
How? Have you heard of hopeful monsters? the theory?
What's that?
There's no transition. The dinosaurs would lay an egg and a bird would just pop out.
Oh, yeah. That is a teaching that they have. They think, well, maybe evolution happened so quick that it can't be observed. So maybe a reptile laid an egg and a bird hatched out. Like Dr. Hovind said in a seminar, who did that bird marry? And scales don't code for feathers, okay? That's just not how it works. This is proof that the devil himself exists. The fact that you could believe in evolution and be so deceived and so tricked is proof that Satan deceives, that you have been deceived by the God of this world, which have blinded the minds of them which believe not, the Bible says. They say, you're so superstitious. You believe in the devil? You better believe I do, because he deceived you into believing pond scum to people evolution, bacteria to biologist, goo to you, the zoo to you, fish to fishermen. That's what they think. So don't come at me with, oh, it's superstitious to believe in that old book. I'm glad that it is an old book and that it's been around for a long time. You're admitting by saying it's an old book that it is historic and that it is reliable. When they say it's an old book written a long time ago, I'm glad God didn't leave us without his word for thousands of years. Glad we have the word of God and that we've had it for a long time. You're admitting that it's been around for a long time. You say Jesus didn't exist. 97%, 98% of scholars believe he existed. So don't go against, quit going against scholarship.
You know that if there wasn't a Bible, they would all be, well, if God really existed, why didn't he write something to let us know?
Yeah, right, yeah. You can't win with them. That's the thing. You bring up these things, we're dealing with people who are disingenuous. Even Richard Dawkins himself said, we don't need evidence for evolution to be true. We just know it to be true. Talk about believing things without evidence. He literally admits, I don't need evidence to believe it. I just believe and receive evolution theory.
He'd rather believe that aliens seeded.
Yeah, you're right. He said, and I quote, that it's possible if you look at the details of biochemistry and molecular biology that you could find the signature of some sort of designer. But that designer could well be a higher intelligence from elsewhere in the universe. He said this in the movie Expelled. Go look it up. I love that movie. I actually had a chance to watch Expelled. Who made that movie again? It was Ben Stein, that Jewish guy. I don't agree with Ben Stein, obviously. Jesus is the Christ, period. I don't see eye to eye with him on a lot of things, but I did appreciate that film because it absolutely debunked Darwinism at the fundamental of the theory. Check out that film. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So many people say, I left Christianity because there wasn't enough scientific evidence. Well, what did you leave to go believe? Surfing rats? Surfing monkeys? Squids and octopi that are aliens? What did you choose to believe instead?
Farting dinosaur
chickens. Farting dinosaur. And the guy says, well, Matt, you've misrepresented us. They tooted, he said, and they warmed the environment. That sounds even more stupid.
But it's the same thing regardless.
It's all the same game. It doesn't matter how they shuffle the deck of cards. Look, they think it rained for 2 million years. Point this out to them. When I bring forth my Bible model, they say, it's your Bible model. Ha ha. Yeah, I bring forth my Bible model. And they try to argue against it. They say, oh, it's crazy. You think it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. That's what I tell them that it did. That's history right there. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. You Google rain for millions of years. They think it rained for 2 million years. So remember, they think rain created itself from nothing with no God and rained down into the oceans for 2 million years.
When there was no oxygen.
What did the first single-celled organism eat? That's what I'd like to know. There was no organic material. It just came alive. What's he going to eat? Hard rock? Did life begin in the oceans? We're drawing towards the closing here, and we'll have a question and answer here. Did life, and comments, of course. Did life begin in the oceans? The age-old question, how did life begin, has baffled humans for centuries. Many scholars have theorized how life began, but in almost every case, they have agreed on one thing. In some way, the creation of life involved water. Google sometime, how does DNA get destroyed? It says DNA is vulnerable. It breaks down in sunlight and in what? Water. They say the creation of life involved water, Matt. False. The Bible says life began on the land. That's what the Bible says. And if it's impossible for life to start in water, and if water destroys DNA, who was right, God or man? God was right when he said that out of the dust of the ground, he formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's powerful. It's weak to say that your ancestor was a fish. I wish I were a fish. Well, according to evolution, you were a fish, Mr. Limpet, millions of years ago. How does DNA get destroyed? DNA is vulnerable. It breaks down in sunlight and water. What was the prebiotic soup situation like? Sunlight and water. That's how it came alive. No, false. DNA is vulnerable. It breaks down in sunlight and water. These are scientific papers. You don't have a rescue device for this. Again, checkmate all day. We win all day. And if anybody tries to argue against this after hearing this, they're either really gullible, or they're a liar. Only a liar would say, oh, you've misrepresented us, Matt. You have misrepresented evolution, when I show you exactly what they say. We don't believe in surfing monkeys. And then I point out that they do. And then this guy goes, surfing monkeys, surfing dinosaurs, it's perfectly plausible. Yeah. I got a good laugh out of that. In a way, I felt bad for the guy, but I also got a good laugh out of it. Short period comets. So one of the reasons that we know that the solar system is young is because there are comets that go about in an orbit. And they get close to the sun every 200 years, and they burn up about 3 to 5% each orbit. Well, they can't be there from millions of years ago, and they only last 10,000 years. And so it's just great proof that since they still exist, that the solar system that we have, our Milky Way, the galaxy, is less than 10,000 years old. But if you ask an evolutionist, explain these short period comets, please explain the evidence that we see, the facts. They say the Oort cloud did it. Okay, Google, is there any evidence that the Oort cloud exists? Google it. The first thing that pops up is that there is no evidence that the Oort cloud exists. Folks, they believe things without evidence. But yet these are the people that say, give me the evidence, Matt. We need evidence. We need answers. If you were really looking for the answer, you wouldn't be believing such nonsense. They say, why do you believe in something you can't see? There's absolutely no evidence for the Oort cloud, okay? There is evidence for God. They say, well, what's your evidence for God? Time, space, and matter being here right now is proof that God exists. The fact that I'm sitting here right now is proof that God exists. The fact that this matter and energy that we see around us exists is proof that God exists. Because things don't come into existence on their own by magic. They say, well, where did your God come from? What do you mean come from? He didn't come from anywhere. If he had to come from somewhere, that means he's created. You can't create something that's eternal. Who created God? That's like asking who created the thing that created everything and that by definition cannot be created. Who created the thing that cannot be created? That's what they're asking. Who painted the painter? Who designed the architect? Who built the builder? It's a logical question to ask who created God. It's false. It's a false dichotomy. Everything about it is false. For decades, scientists have theorized that beyond the edge of the solar system, there lies a massive cloud of icy planetesimals known as the Oort cloud. This cloud is believed to be where comets originate from. However, no evidence has been provided to confirm that the Oort cloud exists. These atheists that respond to us are like, the Oort cloud did it. The Oort cloud. There's no evidence for it. According to physics.org, Google, all the scientific papers. We infer it. Yeah. Speculation. That's not science. Like I said, I could go on all day about this. You know, kids get curious. They ask questions. They say, they will type in on their iPhone, someday your kid will do this. They will ask, where did life come from? They might even ask Google. And Google will tell them it rained down into the oceans. Again, Rain and water destroys life. The very thing that destroys life is what they think created life. And you need to protect your children from this public school system. If you send them to the public school system, you had better give them the other side, because they're going to, kids oftentimes are not the smartest. You know, they can be smart, but they a lot of times believe what they're told. They're taught what to think, not how to think. And then at the end of their course, they think that they know how to think. A lot of the people that I debate think they know how to think. They don't know how to think. They know what to think, and they've been told what to think instead of how to think. And they'll Google, where did life come from? And they will take this as Bible. Life came from a shower. That's what this says. And they'll believe that. Hitler said, if you tell a lie big enough, loud enough, and often enough, what? People will believe it. People will believe it.
And people are more ready to believe a big lie than a little lie.
It's got to be big. He says, make the lie big. Make it simple. Keep on saying it, and eventually they will believe it. Eventually, they'll believe it. He says, he who owns the youth gains the future. Let me tell you something, folks. They are after our kids. They are after the children. They're after the youth. He who owns the youth gains the future. This genetically modified skeptic on YouTube who claims, oh, I used to be a Kent Hovind fan. I used to believe in what Dr. Dino was saying, but now I no longer believe because I started studying science. This guy literally put out a video that said, on the thumbnail, share this video with all of your Christian friends. Share it with the Christians. They are on a mission to attack God. They're on a mission to attack the Bible and Christianity. They want to shut us down. They are the enemy, period. They are an enemy of the cross of Christ. The Bible says whose mouths must be stopped. That's where people like me and other people come in. We will shut them down, period. Their lies will go no further. And the fact that they put out videos and they define themselves as an atheist. What if it proves they hate God. They say, well, I can't hate what doesn't exist, Matt. Look, what if I said that I'm a non-fisherman? You say, Matt, tell me about yourself. I'm a non-fisherman. And I wrote books against fishing. Doesn't that mean I hate fishing? Yes. If you define yourself, I'm a non-believer, and you're going to write books and put out content against God, you know what that means? You hate God. And you believe in him. Aaron Ross said, if it was the God of the Bible that existed, I would not worship it. That's what he said. So does that mean that Aaron Ross is really a truth seeker? He admits that if it's the God of the Bible, he says, I won't worship it. I'll have nothing to do with it. That means he doesn't care what the facts are. He will pretend to care. Please show me the evidence. And he'll put out these videos. He'll say, not one Christian has ever provided any evidence for God. You know what? Say that on Judgment Day, when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, your knee will bow, my knee will bow, and we will all confess that he is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Darwinism is so weak, and I want to end it here. Who has ever seen these stickers when they go down the road? Very common. Yeah, Matt and Josh has seen them. I've seen them all the time. Look, anybody that puts a Darwin fish on their car, that person might as well just tell me, I have not actually looked into Darwin at all. Darwin could not even get a job. You're putting a sticker of a guy that could not even get a job. His dad had to get him a job. He was such a failure in life, an unpaid job as a comforter for a ship captain as they're floating about near the Galapagos. What a joke. This is the man that they say is so scientific. They have a statue of Darwin. Oh, so amazing. I got to see the Darwin statue. Oh, really? Darwin said, and I quote, often a cold shudder has run through me, and I've asked myself whether I've devoted myself to a fantasy. Charles Darwin was afraid that he was living in a fantasy. You know, Brother Parsons, if I got up here and I said, you know, Will, it's been great giving this message here tonight, but I'm afraid I'm living in a fantasy. Would you trust anything that I'm saying? No. So when Darwin says, I'm afraid I'm living a fantasy, why in the world would you trust somebody like that? Why not trust somebody that said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? Somebody who spoke with absolutes, not somebody who says, I'm afraid I'm living in a fantasy. Jesus didn't speak like that. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus spoke in absolutes. Darwin said, I'm afraid I'm living in a fantasy. Who are you going to trust, folks? Are you going to trust God, or are you going to trust man? Are you going to trust the man who couldn't get a job? The man who was a failure in life? The man who literally went onto a ship with a bunch of, you know, of guys, landed on the Galapagos, saw a couple of finches, and concluded that finches and bananas were related, just because finches speciated. He's the, Bill Nye says, he's the number one discoverer in all of science. Darwin is. Oh, what a joke. Really? What, that's your number one discoverer, huh, Bill Nye? The man who said that he's afraid he's living in a fantasy. They say, well, Matt, we don't believe we came from a rock. That's a straw man. Rare meteorite that fell on a UK driveway may contain ingredients for life. What are they implying right there? They are implying that life, this just came out, that life started from a rock, that is your ancestor. Matt, it's so crazy that you believe that the Virgin Mary conceived. You believe a rock conceived.
What are the ingredients?
There's so many ingredients for life. And even if you put the ingredients together, proteins, DNA, chromosomes, if you put everything together for life and jumbled it up, it would not assemble itself. They can't, not even with all the most high-tech instruments. Again, it's something, what they believe is that something that we can't do on purpose somehow happened by accident. And they say, well, one day, Matt, we'll create life and we'll prove that you're wrong. No, you're just proving that I'm right, because if you create life, that proves it takes intelligence to create life. I've always said that. It means it had to have a creator, okay? Ingredients in the space rock that fell to Earth that contained life, and it contained liquid water, folks. Big, oh, great. That'll really help the situation. Something that destroys the ingredients for life. I'm going to go for just a few more minutes. I apologize. This is important, because this is the fundamentals of the fundamental of the faith that we defend what the Bible says. We have to defend it at all costs. The theistic evolution crowd and the old age crowd, we need to get them on our side. I'm not trying to be down on you guys, but get on our side. It's a real good time to be a young earth creationist, amen? It's a real good time, because we have the facts on our side. Our model is superior. In 2003, the Human Genome Project was completed, and they found that we lose 1-2% of our information as human beings per generation. So what that means is I have lost 1-2% of my dad's genetic information as it was transmitted through birth, right? And so my son has 1-2% less than me. We are losing our genetic information. You can only lose so much before you've lost it all. And atheists, they try to go back and forth with you on this. And I think that the best way to respond is that per generation, we have mutations that accumulate in populations over time. What that means is that, you know, brother, your daughter has, 100 more mutations than you, right? We are increasingly becoming mutant, and natural selection cannot weed out these mutations. If you keep having mutations build up in populations over time, that will cause us to go extinct as a population. So we should, you know, Dr. Kondrashov, I think from one of the bigger universities, I think Harvard, said, why are we not dead 100 times over? We should be dead 100 times over if evolution were true. They say, Matt, you're given all these facts and stuff and all this misrepresentation. What about our side, Matt? If you show them our side, you know that people will leave Christianity in the droves. Okay, I'll show your side with a 3-word Google search. When monkeys surfed. People say, Matt, how do you get people to doubt evolution? I tell them, Google when monkeys surfed. These are the first things that pop up when monkeys surfed to South America. Look, we've talked about this so many times, that these evolutionists, they believe in literal surfing animals, that they managed to hitch a lift on floating rafts. Again, the flood is what caused all these fossils to get deposited. There's low genetic diversity in all humans and in all creatures. If mutation through natural selection is why we have new creatures and new species, then we would have tons of genetic diversity. A mutation causes diversity by definition. Why do we have virtually zero, almost no genetic diversity? And the result, yeah, amen. The result, you know, people say, Matt, what if a monkey has a bunch of mutations? You think it'll turn it into a human? If a monkey has a bunch of mutations, it's going to get Down syndrome. Mutations are the reasons for Down syndrome, cancer, autism. But according to evolution, that's what makes us better. Those mutations that get selected through the selection process of and where the genes get better over time. Just imagine. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Yeah, a mutation is a change in our DNA sequence due to what? Mistakes. When DNA is copied, their hero is a mistake. They think mistakes are what make us better. Mutations can occur during DNA replication if errors are made and not corrected in time. People always say, you're misrepresenting what a mutation is. A mutation's not an error. Biology for Majors, 101. Go read it.
They've watched the X-Men movies too many times.
But it's funny because they think you go from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to mankind. That's they think, well, if you mutate, you know, and I used to like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but that was fiction. They say they're mutant. It makes us better. Mutations are deleterious. Error. Look, the reason mutations exist is because of sin. Wherefore, as one by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Mutations exist because of sin. People say, you mean to say we'd live forever if we hadn't sinned? Absolutely. No mutations would have been introduced to the gene pool. And if you don't have mutations, you don't have errors. You have a perfect code, right?
We would have been continuing to eat from the tree of life.
Yeah, we would have continued in the garden, and one day we'll be restored. Look, let's debunk radiometric dating and call it a night. So they say, well, Matt, radiometric dating, you know, this is what proves our side. Look, you can create radiometric isotopes in a lab, and the next day they date as millions of years old. They're brand new isotopes, and they date as millions of years old. And you're assuming that there was no daughter element, if you will, in the rock that was created. No parent or daughter element in the rock that was contaminated when it solidified, right? So science is not based on assumptions. It's based on fact. It's what we know. It's the definition of science is to know what we observe. Look, your founder was a full-blown racist. At some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the what? Savage races throughout the world. Darwin was a racist. Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ. I suppose we will probably end it there. Do we have any questions or comments?
Yes, there's a question about, can you explain blaspheming against the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And what that means is that God gives everybody a chance to be saved. Well, if you reject the Spirit of God, Jesus said, whoso blasphemeth the Son will have forgiveness in this life and in the world to come. If you reject the Son, absolutely. But if you reject the Spirit of God, which is wooing every man to himself, at some point God will say, all right, you're done. You have blasphemed the Spirit, and that person cannot be saved. Extremely rare, extremely rare. You know, but it does happen where people blaspheme the Spirit of God. Jesus says, you won't be forgiven in this life or in the life to come. All right, any other questions or comments?
I just think that it's amazing how much the common atheist matches up with Hitler and his beliefs.
Yeah.
And with all the racism and yep. all the, you know, how much that.
You're so right. It is racism. They say we evolved from Africans. Okay, wow. Wow. We evolved from Africans?
I thought Africans were the inferior race.
That's what they say. That's literally what they're saying. They're saying Africans are inferior. But in the Bible, if we all came from two people, that would make sense. Yeah, they do go by what? They say, oh, we're not like Hitler. Oh, yeah? How about abortion? They say, well, remember 9/11. Remember what happened? No, remember yesterday. That's how many people we killed yesterday in an abortion clinic. They say, remember 9/11. No, remember yesterday. And remember the day before that. Don't come at me with, oh, we're not like Hitler. You know what? Like I said, we have murdered and massacred. God is angry with America. God is angry with this country. But I take comfort in knowing there's 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I believe some of those men are in this room right now. I believe that. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, I was going to say, he was talking about earlier about how he was talking about, well, give us evidence, give us evidence. You give them evidence, is the reason they get mad, I think, because it's evidence they can't disprove. They want you to give them evidence that they can argue with and disprove.
Right.
They can't do that.
Yeah, well, there are none so blind as those who will not see. You can show them evidence. The Bible says that a foolish man will stiffen his neck, right? And shall be destroyed, and that without remedy.
Willingly ignorant.
Like Kent Hovind has always said, dumb on purpose. That's what we're up against. That's what we're up against. Any other questions or comments?
Last one. Do you disagree with Dr. Hovind on anything biblically?
Of course, I disagree with many people on many things. I disagree with everyone in this room on something. There's going to be a disagreement somewhere. On the Bible, I don't know. The Bible says that questions that can tend to strife and disorder to avoid, right? So I think, yeah, there are things that him and I might disagree on. But at the end of the day, who cares? As long as we believe in the fundamentals. It's not like Kent Hovind and I would disagree on the coming of Christ or that Jesus is God. These are the fundamentals that you have to believe. The King James Bible, those are the fundamentals that you have to believe in order to have fellowship with somebody. We believe that. So, yeah. I'm sure if Doc and I talk long enough, we have disagreements. We'd talk about it. Is it? Anything else from here?
Yeah, as long as it's not salvation.
There are, the Bible says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind, right? And so what that means is that there are certain things that we can be persuaded, that we can let other people be persuaded on. It's fine. You know, if somebody is compelled to, you know, do something a certain way, that's up to them. As long as it's not sin, whatever. If people say, well, the toilet paper roll should go this way. I don't care. I don't care if it's over the top or underneath. Just give me the toilet roll when I need it.
Yep.
It does the same job. It doesn't matter. Any other questions or comments? Or all right. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Share this content. Share Dr. Hovind's content. Make sure that you preach the gospel to every creature. Let's reach the world. I believe that we can. The Bible says that there were 12 apostles that turned the world upside down. I believe that we could do it right here at DAL, even if people didn't share our videos. People say, what if you get shut down? I don't care. I'll just go door to door and preach the gospel to people. If they don't want to hear it, that's okay. I'll just walk away. God bless, folks. You all have a great night. Awesome.